In 1989, when the bomb occurs, what is your role and what is your rank?
I was then a captain. I was director of music training. As you know, we had the staff band here and the School of Music. The School of Music is where we train the young musicians. And the young musicians were on parade that morning doing their marching practice with the band. I was coming in later on because at 9 o'clock we were having what was called bandmasters conducting, where the student bandmasters used the staff orchestra as a vehicle to practice their conducting. So that's why I came in. I took my wife to work in Sandwich that morning. She worked in opticians. And on the radio we heard this announcement that there's been a gas explosion in the barracks in Deal. We knew that to be false because the boilers had been taken away a few years before. Just turned around, drove straight back. And by the time we got back there, that's when all the emergency services were there.
So you reckon you were probably coming into the barracks at what sort of time?
About 8:40, I suppose.
Oh, right, as quickly as that.
As quickly as that.
Yeah.
I was halfway down the Sandwich Road.
Right.
I'd reach Sandwich.
Yeah. So, right, you arrive back in the barracks. What is the scene that is greeting you at this time?
Well, for those who have not seen the area, if I can describe, there's a concert hall there, which is an old converted church with a very tall spire, which has got a concert stage in it. And then off that you have offices and small practice rooms, an old boiler house, which was now empty of the boilers. That building had a flat roof, and that was where my office used to be when I was staff band director. That roof had completely gone, the walls had completely gone, and just a pile of rubble. And of course there were people running over the site, there were nurses there, doctors like Keith Rawlings and his team. And then the makeshift morgue was put in the old boiler house for the bodies when we found them. So remember Terry the nurse, she was there right from the beginning, that was our nurse at the barracks. She was on site immediately and was doing the triage stuff and getting the wounded out. And a nurse came to me and I said, what's happened? Who's gone? Give us a list now. And we started collating the list. Those who died, those who are injured. Where's so-and-so? Have we traced him? Have we traced him? Because there were no girls in the band service then, but it was all male. I was on the ground at the bomb site. But we used the administration block, which is in the next barracks, where the colonel was, everybody, yes, where the telephones were set up, as the point of contact to hand information as it came through, as we found bits and more information was known. We also had to look after the young musicians on the parade. They were first on the scene. And you're talking about 16, 17, 18-year-old young boys. And then once the heavy crew got in there, thank you very much, boys, go away, and they were just left on the parade. And it came very noticeable to one of the senior medical staff, who said to us, you're going to have problems with these young people. You've got to get them motivated. What we need blankets, we need boxes, we need this. So we got all the guys together and said, right, we need 36 chairs. Go and take every chair, every room in that barracks, go get me chairs out here, get me blankets, I want blankets up here. We need water bottles, we need some more of this, that. And just got the guys doing something constructive.
Right.
Whether it was useful at the time, we have no idea.
Maureen Bain, the matron at the hospital, said quite a lot of the young boys were taken up there in a fairly shocked state, who really need a cigarette as a cuddle.
In fact, we were told by, it was a commander, I believe it was a naval commander, the medic, go and hug the boys. And so you don't hug me. We're men, we don't hug the boys. And he said, no. They need it. Give them a big hug. So, hug, son, you get off. Up you get, because they're crying, they're distressed. And we're made to do that, which was very, very, very good, also for us.
Yes.
It taught us another aspect of our leadership as well.
Were you aware of the sort of huge press interest that was beginning
yes.
to build up?
Yes.
I gather the police did pretty well in keeping them out.
Yeah, it was very good. As you know, we're a very small town. It doesn't take long for the information to get out. I can remember little police cordons up, and we were going between two barracks, and thus everything was segregated, like with police tape. And we just ran from site to admin block. And you know what, I can't really remember much of that day. I remember standing next to the nurse and saying, give me the list. She said, Dean Pavey's gone, Bobby Simmons. You went down like that, and you think, okay, who's missing? Well, there's a body under here, and the roof, I said, had gone completely, and one of the guys was found on top of the roof of the next building as it went up. I believe it was... Richard Fice, bless him. And really, you just, not like a headless chicken, you were getting on with your job, like any military person, get on with the task. collect the evidence, give it to the people, back you go.
Were you aware that the sergeant's mess was operating very much as a sort of consolation centre? That
when you're on the ground, you're in a little cocooned area, you don't realise that stuff is going on around you. Of course, valiantly going on. People came in to man the phones because they were red hot. And the phones were set up to take the donations. The sergeant's mess was set up to look after the families and give information to those who were worried about their relatives.
So were you aware of what sort of time you left the barracks that day?
Absolutely not. I'm just trying to think through that now. I know I went home and talked to my wife about it. I remember the doctor, Nigel Scott Moncrief. He was our doctor then, because all the doctors did their locum work, yes, barracks and in the town. And Nigel was the doctor here. Yes, I do remember. We were getting towards the end of the day, and we just kept on working. We hadn't eaten. I remember someone giving me a brandy, and it didn't do it. Didn't react at all. He just kept on going. And I think Nigel, I remember what he did. He said, get in the car, Dave. He was a friend of mine. And I said, well, you take me home. It's quite late now in the evening. And he drove me to London. He's got a house in London. And he rang Jan up, because he saw how exhausted we all had got.
Right.
We hadn't eaten, we hadn't done anything except concentrate on that. And he took me away and got up to London, and we stayed there a day and came back. I remember that. But I don't remember the sequence